That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
that will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we're here Saturday morning coming to you live this 10-22-2016. How you like that? I like that date for some reason. 10-22-2016. Good morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Josh.
Good morning, sir.
Appreciate you getting up and joining us there from Louisiana. And we say good morning to you, the remnant, for joining us. And we'll have the phone lines open this morning. If you have any questions or comments, you want to call in and share with us and with the remnant. But Josh is going to open us in prayer this morning. And so, Josh, we'll ask you to do that, sir.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this chance to assemble as a body, Lord, as your remnant, and to share your word, Lord, and to help each other and grow in your grace and knowledge. Lord, we do this morning pray for your forgiveness of our sins, both known and unknown, Lord, that you wash us in that cleansing blood, Lord. And we thank you for that blood, that precious blood that was shed so that we could have that life abundant, Lord. And we do thank you for the sacrifice and for, Lord, for all the blessings that we receive because of that sacrifice. Lord, we do pray on that home of Ephesians 6. We pray it on good and tight. Pray that you put our loins with truth and shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Branch the sword of the Spirit, shield of faith. Lord, wrap us in that mantle of zeal and seal us off with that helmet of salvation. Lord, we pray that you help us to be strong, Lord, and act like men. Help us to be bold and courageous and not shrink back whenever those attacks from Satan come. Lord, help us to stand firm in the faith. Lord, we just pray that for this broadcast this morning, that it would be benefit to your remnant, Lord. Pray that nothing but truth to be spoke, Lord, and that you guide us and show us which way you'd have us to go. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it is a beautiful fall morning developing here, and sun's trying to get up over the mountains. Before you know it, it'll make it, and we're having beautiful weather. You know, we've had some rough weather all year, kind of all over the country, from droughts and actual tornadoes out west. Don't know if you guys heard about it. Had tornadoes out in Oregon, I think last week or the week before, which seems kind of odd. You don't hear a lot about that. But and we sure had a lot of flooding down south and back east earlier in the year. And Josh, how are things going down there with that? Does it seem like things are working out a little better or what?
Well, most people have hit that crossroads and either had to choose to, you know, bite the bullet and borrow the money and rebuild or throw the keys on the counter and walk away from it. And the reason for that being is FEMA has stepped in and issued their decree, you know, that if there's too much damage to home, I think the number is over 50% of the value worth of damage, that the home had to be elevated to whatever height that they deemed necessary, you know. And that's not a cost that many families can afford to elevate their homes and then rebuild it, you know, because most of those that were flooded, or a lot of the areas that were flooded were not in flood zones. People didn't have flood insurance, you know, so they haven't come out of pocket for the repairs, and just people can't afford it. And the blackmail that FEMA's doing is, sure, you know, you can rebuild your house and, you know, not elevate and all that, but we're not going to give you your permits to get the lights back on and move back into it. So you got to have your permits.
Right.
Yeah. They did the same thing out here when those fires swept through the back canyons. And there was a lot of people, you know, there's been some speculation that those fires weren't natural. And what it did was, this called the Buckhorn Canyon, there was a lot of people who had squatted in there over the years, you know, many, many years ago. And a lot of them didn't have any permits for the structures that they built, just makeshift structures. And now that they were burned out, they're not giving them permits to rebuild. And
right,
so it gave them a better handle on who is living up in the canyon.
Yeah, we see that, you know, the good old days of just building what you wanted and where you wanted and you know, not bother, you know, don't bother me and I won't bother you. Those days are long gone.
But people don't understand that the whole reason for these permits and inspections and all that is not to protect the homeowner. It's to protect the banks. That's what it's to
right.
protect. The banks that have lent money on these things. But if you're, you know, trying to do it biblically and you're able to build your home over a period of time, you know, you buy the land and you build it as you can afford it, and it don't matter. You still have to go along with the Babylonian system of permits and permission. Mother may I, that's the society we live in today.
Yep.
You know, and I know y'all have, but I talked to Pastor about that, and his thing was, well, pick your fights, you know, the ones that are the most important to you. Because when you're in Babylon, there's a certain amount of things you have to go by their way, you know, when you're here. I'm not saying we got to embrace it, but you got to pick your fights, the ones that are the most important.
You don't want to tip your cards or show your hand until it's something that's worthwhile. So we just have to unfortunately go along with some of these things and be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Unless, you know, the thing is, there's such a thing as compromise for Babylonian beliefs and practices, but when it comes to the immorality, that's where we draw the line.
Right.
Point to, you know, the things we're talking about, compromise or whatever, we're talking about material things, you know, maybe buying a building permit or doing this stuff. We're not talking about our families, you know, we're not talking about, you know, material things, they come and go, and so, but you know what I'm saying, there's no room to compromise when you're talking about your family, your children, your morals, and something that goes, you know, directly against the Bible.
That's right.
Absolutely.
You know, John had a real good article in this last month's Volume 7 of The Dragon Slayer, and it addressed that very thing. It was called, Are Your Beliefs a Preference or a Conviction? And, you know, our pastor taught on that years ago, on the difference between a preference and a conviction. And, John, I think it was a great article. We've already had several comments on it as that newsletter's out in the people's hands and been emailed out and everything. And it is. There's, you know, you may prefer one kind of coffee over another. You may prefer those Ford diesels over those Dodge diesels, you know. You may prefer to live there versus
you're
here.
Dummy if you do.
Well, you know what I mean. It's just an example, John, you know.
I know.
And so, you know, we have preferences.
The thing about that, you know, and when you examine yourself, I know for myself there have been times where I've identified my preferences that had crossed the line, you know, and it was something good to look at, and okay, if I believe this, why do I believe it? You know, where is my basis for?
Right. And that's something that, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, why we believe something or why we do something is just because we've always done it. And, you know, our pastor talked about so many that are stuck in this, what has become this slowly boiling pot of water that the frog is getting boiled alive in of Judeo-Christianity. That it slowly changed, you know, two generations ago. Or three generations ago, they eased baptism out, and they've just moved slowly and slowly away from true Christianity to this lie that's been burped up out of the pits of hell of Judeo-Christianity, because the people don't realize that Judaism denies Christ, and so they've swallowed this. And well, you know, it's like that, you know, that good old religion. It was good enough for grandma, and it was good enough for mama, and it's good enough for me. Well, if they were misled, you know, maybe it ain't. It shouldn't be good enough for you. And I like how you put that, Josh, that sometimes we have to look at the things that we have as preferences, certainly as convictions. But especially as preferences as well. And, you know, hey, is this right? Is it biblically accurate? You know, or is it just something that I think is okay? And you know, or can we validate it? Is it truth? Is it really the way things are? Anyway, great article.
There's nothing wrong with you having those preferences, but
right.
A preference isn't something that you should be able to impart on someone else. You know, that is
exactly
your preference, and you can't quote it as a fact, because it's not. It is your preference if you don't have a biblical basis to found it on. You know?
Right.
And that's what we stuck that as a measuring stick that we should put against everything, is the word.
Yeah, a conviction is you're willing to go through the circumstances or be persecuted or whatever. The preference is that you'll change it if you're pressured to. And one of the definitions was that if you have to be assured of victory in your battle, then it's a preference. Not a conviction. and it makes sense. I'm actually working on part two on that, getting close to finishing it up. That, they've proven in some of these cases where people try to claim religious exemptions that the attorneys will actually start questioning you about your lifestyle. Well, do you have a TV? Well, where is that TV? Is that TV in your family room where your children have access to it? How often a day, how many hours a day do you watch that TV? How much does that TV cost? Things like that. And what kind of videos do you have? Do you censor the programming that your children, those kind of questions. And that establishes, too, whether it's a preference or a conviction or a belief, Not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. That's the true difference.
Right. Well, folks, we have the phone lines open this morning. The program is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And the line, if you want to call in, the phone number is 307-745-5913. And we'll do our best to get you on if you have a question or a comment. And that preference or a conviction, that conviction is something that it's, you truly feel led by God, required, I guess would probably be a better term, required by God to do it. It's our conviction. To partake of communion when we gather together with the remnant. We understand it, we read about it in the Bible, and we do the very best that we can to do that. There's times that people miss church, whether they're sick or something else comes up, we've taken communion back to them. John, I know you've done that, and we've done that. And that's just an example of we're going to do that. And it seems like today there's so few people. If you have a conviction, especially regarding Christianity, you tend to garner labels, and our enemy is doing, I think, a very good job of brainwashing this next generation, where they don't want to have any, they don't want them to have any convictions. It's whichever way the wind's blowing today, and
whatever feels good.
It is. It's whatever feels good, and it's they've been doing this for about a generation or two. Is they teach these situational ethics, in the classroom, it's, little Johnny, now we know we shouldn't take things that don't belong to us, but little Johnny, he's being raised by a single mother because his daddy's in prison because he was a gangbanger, and so little Johnny's hungry, so, little Johnny walking to school sees goes in the store and steals a honey bun or a breakfast. Now, should little Johnny be punished because he's hungry? And, they teach that, it's okay. Well, if it's okay if he's hungry to do that. And they teach these situational ethics that, that completely go against the Word of God. And, it's nothing but humanism. And it sounds good. It's not the Common Core math. It's like the Common Core ethics. And it may look all important and good and applicable, but it's just, it's just the vanity of man. And they teach this. This is taught.
Well, it's important to identify.
Go ahead, Josh. Sir. Well, I can see it. I think one of the main reasons for this Common Core is just like you say, they've changed the wording in these story problems with reading comprehension, they've changed the way that they do math. But I mean, my fifth grade or sixth grade daughter, I can't even do the math that they do, and it doesn't make any sense. But more importantly, if you look at some of these word problems and things like that, they go back to evolution, and there's contradictory things, just hints of contradictory things regarding Christianity and biblical truth. But I'm pretty sure that what they're doing is they're changing the way that they teach the children. That's a fact. But they're setting these tests up so that people who do homeschool or people who send their children to Christian schools or to private schools, their children won't be able to pass these tests. Now, you know, everybody has a different position on college and all that, so we're not going to argue about that. But bottom line is, if your child's desire is to attend college, they won't be able to take and pass these ACTs and PSATs and all these other tests that you need to get admission into college, because they haven't been taught how to take these types of tests.
Right.
Where it's not common sense anymore, and it's not knowledge. It's indoctrination.
It absolutely is.
It wasn't happening fast enough in the public school system over the last 50 years or whatever it's been. But so now that's what this whole Common Core thing's about, is basically expediting the indoctrination of the children.
Well, you know, another thing that it did, and I had not considered this until the other day, I was listening to two ladies in the lobby of our office talking, and they were talking about the fact that they couldn't help their children with their homework because the way they do it now is so differently than what they were taught, that they didn't know how to do it this new way. So what they're doing is establishing more of a dependence on their system. You know, the parents can't help the children with the work. And I just thought this occurred to me, but how do you think that makes that 10-year-old feel whenever his mama doesn't even know the answer to this math problem? Is that going to raise his opinion of her?
No. No, not at all.
I don't think it is.
That's a very good point, and it does. It drives that wedge between parent and child.
And church and state. I mean, that's another thing.
It does.
It's making that divide bigger, because our family unit is our body, you know, and the school is the state, and it's making them have to be more dependent on the school to be able to learn and pass the test, as you said, John. I hadn't considered that. If someone didn't want to go to college, and once they get these tests shaped a certain way, you know. I know whenever I was in high school, I was told, when I was taking my out of the classes and what have you, they were telling me that it didn't matter, which I worked the problems, but I get the correct answer, but it didn't work it the way they wanted me to work it. And so I got it wrong, and you get points for working it the correct way. But and my teacher, you know, we were debating it, and she said, well, the answer doesn't matter. The way you work the problem is what matters. I said, well, why work the problem if the answer doesn't matter?
Right.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And that was, it's a lot different now. It's way worse.
Oh, it is.
Exactly.
That's an excellent point, Josh, that what they've done, too, is they're creating more dependency on the school system, because they're dependent on those grades to be able to advance, and they're just increasing that relationship with those teachers and tutors. And like you say, the biggest point I got out of what you said is the wedge that they drive between the parents. Man, my mom and dad must be stupid. They can't even do the math that I'm doing in
right.
sixth grade.
I'm not in the third grade.
Yeah. That's the underlying theme. The, you know, our enemies, as you've said before, John, as our pastor taught us, they play chess. You know, we're figuring out checkers. Okay, so we got little black marks. You know, we got black pieces and red pieces. That's checkers, right? And we're learning that, and they're chess masters. And that they do. They drive that wedge. I've got a an 18-year-old, and he's been working on his, final stuff, the finishing up. He's pretty much done homeschooling, so he's got to go up and get his GED and get all that, and he's been working on that these last few weeks. And the testing, he's like, Dad, look at this stuff, because you can do most of it online. And, yeah, it's sure different, you can see. And when you read the paperwork up at the community college on the GEDs and that stuff, and it's right in line with Common Core standards. And so it's been... I don't know if a struggle is the right word, but it's been different. It's different than how he's been taught and homeschooled all his life. It certainly is.
And that's just happened in the last 3 to 5 years.
It has. Oh, it has.
In reality.
Because literally, this will be the fifth child we've had that we've gone through this out here with in the same, same GED program and all that, and it is drastically different. It really is.
John, you and I have had the conversations about common sense, and then you've talked about the lack of common sense in the young people, and that's another thing that this is. It's an attack on common sense, which is something that we desperately need as a people. Whenever you have these absolutes that you base your judgments or convictions on, you can take those absolutes and measure those against other things. We call it common sense, but it is just applying the facts of what we know. And when you take the facts away, when you take those absolutes away, I think it was Richard you just said, and you put these situational absolutes, this is what it is, but only sometimes.
Right. Only sometimes. Right.
The common sense of what. And I would say to the parents out there, but this is your children's education is definitely something that you need to pray about. You need to work off of your convictions on. But I will say, if you do make the choice to keep them in the public school system, which is between you and God, we do need to still give them a good base of word of the truth.
Yes.
And let them know, what they're teaching is not correct. And this is why. And show, take them to the word and show them the scripture. And show them how they should be. That's a heated debate between the homeschoolers and the public schoolers and the private schoolers. That's somewhere I definitely don't want to go. But no matter where our children are, whether they're homeschooled or public school, they need to have that foundation of absolutes.
Yep.
And that can only come from the Word.
Amen. Yep. Josh, it's interesting you mentioned that, like you said, that big fight that's, we've been homeschooling for 20 plus years. And, 20 years ago, it wasn't near the fight or the divide that it is now. Between those that homeschool and public school. And now it's in certain circles, and you see certain things in the media, and even out here in little old Laramie, that there's, there's always been homeschoolers, but boy, it's, when it comes up, it's not that's just a choice. You're doing that. But what about social skills, and what about this and that? And like you mentioned, John, college exams and there's a greater divide, and that's by design. If you're not kind of, in with the masses and doing what everybody else is doing, if you're not with the rest of the sheep walking off the cliff, if you're the one going the other way saying, excuse me, we've seen that cartoon, then, you're looked at as that pariah of society. Proverbs 1:7.
And they're not happy. They're not happy with the 90%. They want the whole 100%.
Right. They want it all.
And they do everything that they can. They know if they capture the youth, then it's only a matter of time before they have their victory. And that's really what's happened. You look back probably, I'm 52. You look back probably 30, 35 years ago, and there wasn't this liberal Antichrist indoctrination, and even those who were still feared God, but now you got to think of it this way, and you know, even our people sometimes they don't seem to have the common sense to think of this, but now you got 30, 35 years of all of these teachers that have gone through higher ed so that they can teach in these public schools. So now you have all of these teachers that have been indoctrinated over this period of time that are teaching anything from preschool
yep.
all the way up through 12th grade.
And through college. You know, your university professors.
Well, but it's always been in.
That have come through that. Right. And that have tenure now. And if they don't, they teach that left-wing liberal or they don't get their to keep their job. You know, and it's the teaching, the education system, the nursing system, is the same way. You know, the questions and the testing and stuff, it's all geared and has been for a generation to promote not common sense, you know, not true knowledge, but this left wing liberal ungodly. You know, common core, I'll let you fill in the rest of that's being yeah. promoted. You know, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And when you take the fear of the Lord out, when you take the understanding of who the Lord is, when you take the Bible out, which is the word of the Lord, when you take that out of people's lives, well, you're not even going to be able to begin with knowledge, much less move through it. And I think that's a big reason, like you men said, why the common sense is gone. You know, knowledge is common sense. Common sense is knowledge. And there's none of that today, very little anyway, because the word of the Lord, the fear of the Lord has been, you know, removed from the people.
And Remnant, I don't want you to be confused out there. We're not fretting. We're just talking about these points to try to open people's eyes.
Amen.
And stimulate thought and examine yourselves and see, are there any things you can do about these situations? If you don't recognize the situation, you're not going to do anything to correct it. And always remember that God is He is at work in the midst of it all. And Richard, you talked about the pressure on the homeschoolers, you know, where they're making people either go to the right or go to the left. You can't kind of stay in the middle anymore. And one thing that pressure has done here where I'm from, it has pushed a good many more people to thumb their noses at the government and say, well, fine then, if that's the way it's going to be, the heck with you, we're going to homeschool. There are homeschool groups popping up all over the place here where I'm from anyway, and people turning to alternatives to the public school. And I thank the Lord for it, you know. And
yes.
We got one right here close to us. It's, you know, they started a little school and a church here. And I think they have about 40 or 50 miles. And I'm up there meeting to listen to what they're talking about and all. And, you know, their school is going to start with prayer in the morning, you know.
Right.
And they're going to do what they're supposed to do by the work of God. And I thank Him for it.
Amen.
If they had not turned up the heat, if they had not made people make a choice with this time and pool and all these different things, they would still be in the public school system. So that's a blessing from God. This is all His plan at work. And do not be dismayed. Do not fret over the evil doers.
Amen.
Just pray about it and use your discernment of what each individual, as we, need to do for our families.
Amen. Amen. You know, choose you this day. It's not just choose you this day who you're going to serve, if it's going to be Baal or the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's you have those other choices. Those it brings us back to those preferences. You know, John, your children have been in a Christian school since they've been in school, and you know John's been very active in that and stuff. That's not only a preference, but it's a conviction. I know it is. You know, from the fruit that's come of it, and from your actions with it, and you know, and those convictions bear good fruit. You know, when they're good, godly convictions, and you know, it's good to hear that, Josh, that there are, you know, those families that are going through that trial, facing that trial, having the, you know, when the heat's turned up. If you read the Bible, You know, when the heat's turned up, that's when God is melting that dross away. You know, that's when he's getting rid of the impurities. He's getting rid of the, you know, the thoughts that, oh, well, everybody else goes to public school, or, you know, so my kids should too. You know, when the heat gets turned up, that those kind of things, at least with the remnant, with some, you know, those, that dross is kind of burned away. And then you're left with, oh, what, yeah. Wait a minute, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, and it's pleasing to God, and it doesn't matter what either the neighbors say or the government says. And that's a good thing. It is.
Well, you look, too, though. I think about 10 years ago, there was a big push that you had two choices. Well, three choices, basically. You had the public school system, then you had homeschool, and then you had a Christian school or a private school.
Right.
Well, what they did to combat that, because they do play chess, just like we talked about, is they formed a new type of school, and that school is called the charter school. Well, those charter schools, in order to appease those who have some sense, they brought some teachers in that aren't necessarily from the Department of Education, and they guided their curriculum towards strong test scores and being right. able to get scholarships to college and things
right.
like that. But what that did in reality was parents have a choice. They have a choice to either send their children to public school for mm-hmm. free. Well, it's not for free because you pay a lot.
You're paying taxes.
Taxes.
We all are.
But or they can send them to a Christian school, which costs money, or a private school, which costs money, or homeschool. Well, now they've shown these people that, well, we can get your child into a charter school, and they will do better in their testing skills because they focused more on their type of education,
right?
And the parents have bought it hook, line, and sinker because they to be able to send your child to a Christian school is a sacrifice.
Yes.
And when you have two car payments and a boat payment and an RV payment and a house payment and, you know, all these things, those, there you go. Those are that's their preference. Their preference is to have all of these worldly things and it's been a big hit. You know, I've witnessed
it has.
On the Christian schools.
It has been big. I've got a former sister-in-law down in Florida that's the only place she would teach, you know? And the teachers would have to apply because the parents would have to apply to get their children in there, you know, because they would tout that, you know, they don't put up with disciplinary problems, and, you know, and it all sounds so good. It all sounds so good,
right.
But the bottom line, it's just more, it was just more Babylon. And, you know, if we got a caller, we'll get right to him. But, you know, another thing that we've seen in the last few years out here and all over is called the virtual school. And it's been targeted at homeschoolers and things like that because you do it all online. You do it all online. You still go sign
yeah.
up. You still register, and you do it all online. But they got you. And if you
yeah.
do that for the public school system, they get to count you as a student, so they get that federal money. And that's a huge thing. Let's take this caller this morning. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Coffee with
morning.
The Wranglers.
Hey, good morning. This is Jim. Hey, I want to make a comment on, you were talking about preference and convictions. And I was thinking about a Bible passage where it says that double-minded people are unstable in all their ways. And I think with this immoral relativism they're teaching these Amalekite dens, I think they're brainwashing our children into double-mindedness.
Yes.
Then they don't have any convictions later on. Or that's, I think you have to have convictions. I think you have to have godly convictions. Right, and I think with the immoral relativism they're teaching, they can't make up their mind. They're double minded, you know.
Absolutely,
yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, they are. You know, and especially I think it helps. It that ties right in with that divide you talked about, Josh. That, you know, if you've got in school, and you got the kids have a homosexual teacher over here, and they got another teacher over here that prays to Allah, and you know that well those are people in authority, and those everybody's okay with that at school. And then at home, you know, if they get to go to Sunday school or if they get to read the Bible, when it talks about that there's no other, you know, you serve no other God but God, but Jesus, you know, these things, these immoral people don't enter into the kingdom, and we, you know, things like that are sin, well, then, you know, they're given, you're right, there's no conviction, and they're given both sides of the coin. Well, this you know, teacher that prays to Allah or Buddha or, you know, is into all this other stuff, that's okay. They're okay because that's my teacher. That's a person of authority. And we're taught we have to respect that. But then when my Bible says, wait a minute, that's wrong, you know, then you're right. It's that double-mindedness. Pastor did a pamphlet on that and a message, and it's called that very thing, Jim, a double-minded people. And folks, if you're not familiar with that, you that are listening in maybe for the first time on the internet, or if you found us on the shortwave dial, we'll be glad to send you that pamphlet. You know, nobody will come knock at your door like the Jehovah's Witnesses and try to convince you of something too, you know, crazy out there, but we'd be glad to send you that pamphlet, A Double-Minded People. And Jim, you bring up a good point, because the people are under a spell. You cannot hold, and Pastor shows in this, you cannot hold to opposing views and do anything. You know, the country western song, you got to stand for, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Mm-hmm. And that's where our people are today. They have not stood for Christianity, so they have fallen for everything. It's anything goes. Out in California, marry your dog. Oh, that's okay. That's kind of okay. Yeah, they can do that. And they do that, you know. Out in California, well, let's give these illegal aliens that have come across our border, that kill cops and women and just do it, let's give them driver's license and let them vote and give them benefits here in this country. Okay, yeah, we'll do that. So it is a double-minded people, and we'll be glad to send that to you.
Yeah, but that's not the people. That's the mandate of the administration. That's what we miss, I think, is the fact that since the Obama nation's been in office, he's appointed over 500 federal judges, and those federal judges are all through every state in the land, and they have overturned the will of the people. And they have stupid polls come out and say, oh, the people are 50% for gay marriage and transgender, and that's a lie. It's nothing but
a lie.
It's a big lie. There's 10% at the most, and those people are the ones that if you look at this female dog that's running for president, her mentor was Saul Alinsky. Well, up until the time that he had met Hillary Clinton, the communist and socialist movement tried to win people over to their beliefs. She's the one that said, no, we have this all wrong. What we need to do is get our people in positions of authority and mandate socialism and communism, and that's what they've done.
Yeah, there was.
Well, yeah,
I know this for a fact. Out in California, even in California, they voted against homosexual marriage, and that filthy judge, he ruled against the people once again.
Yes, they've continually done that time and time again. Whether it's to give
all the positions,
whether it's to give illegals benefits, driver's license, to approve of homosexuality, you're right. The people have voted time and time again, and then the federal judge just signs it anyway. We see that, and it is. But the people, they're especially in this public school system, it's part of that indoctrination. It's part of that that mandating of socialism, of communism, of Judaism that we are seeing, because those three are basically one in the same. They are entwined together, and we're seeing the teaching of that. the shifting. We've seen Christianity shift to Judeo-Christianity. Why wouldn't we see this republic shift to a communistic, socialistic society? It's the same shift, the same change, you know, from what was once good to what is perverted.
Yeah. Should let you guys get going, but I think a lot of that's written down in the Protocols of Zion, too. Getting into this is a power in the high places, getting in there and working their little filthy plans, whatever they have going.
Communist manifesto, too. Yep.
Yep, it is. It is. Jim, thanks so much for your call.
The thing about it is they know what the end result is, just the same way as we do. So.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, true.
But they know they have a limited time, and they know that right now their time is limited.
Thanks, Jim. Have a great morning.
I think one of the things that we're missing, I think, is we need to go back and do a thorough study of the Bible and the laws and the statutes and the penalties for the judges and start bringing that before the Lord and hold these judges who are making these unrighteous judgments accountable. There's a thing called an oath, and that oath is more important than most people realize, and I'm actually working on an article for the newsletter for that as well, but hopefully was trying to get it out before the election, but I don't know that that's going to happen. But an oath is a matter of honor, and it's a covenant, really. So I think it's important that we look biblically at what the requirements were for the judges and what the consequences were when they did not judge righteously, and bring that before the Lord. You know, he says he can't judge unless we bring these things before him, and we have to give the biblical grounds of why it is that we're bringing this matter before the chief judge, his court.
Well, that goes back to one of the foundational things we should be doing is praying, and as you said, knowing what to pray, having that knowledge, knowing what to pray. But just, we need to be praying, period, to our God, and every day. I mean, that's something that is the way that we
absolutely
move Him to move what's going on in our land.
Yep.
And as you were pointing out, John, we got to have that knowledge of what to pray and how to pray. And I mean, think about it. So we need to know the law, and think about what a conviction is. A conviction is application of the law. So if you don't have the knowledge of the law, how can you have the proper conviction?
Right. And what's sin? Transgression.
Yes.
Of the right law.
Yes. But see, if people don't read their Bible, and they don't. You know, you think about it. That was one of the hooks that our pastor used. Was he would throw something out there that seemed so far-fetched, that seemed so out of reality, you know. And he would say, hey, you don't believe it? Read about it in the Bible. Then see what you think.
I didn't write it.
That's right. And see, that was like a hook. You know, I mean, the apostles used that. You know, they used a hook. They talked to people. We've got an article from an Acres of Diamonds man, one of the Gideon Elite that we're working on as well for a newsletter article, and he mentions that in there, that, you know, the apostles did that. You know, and it's being all things to all men to win some. You know, talking to, you know, Jesus used fishermen to talk, you know, to the common man, and our pastor would do that. You know, he would throw something out there that, like, death penalty for homosexuals. The death penalty for homosexuals as prescribed in the Bible. Now, it could very well, you could also say death penalty for adulterers as prescribed in the Bible. And death penalty for kidnappers as prescribed in the Bible. But, you know, we don't have adulterers and kidnappers sticking their filthy sin right up in our face and making us accept it, or trying to. And so, you know, but that's what the pastor would do, is he would throw this, you know, to get your attention. And then, like you said, John, yeah, hey, wait a minute, this is what it says in the Bible. And, you know, time and time again, you hear people, we have over the years, well, I don't hear that in Sunday school. at my Sunday school. I don't hear that at my church. Well, I didn't say you'd hear it at your church, but it's in the Word of God. Just like sin. What is sin? Transgression of God's law. Who does God hate? Oh, no, people will say, well, God is a God of love. Well, He's also a jealous God. That's one of His names. He says, my name is jealous. And God is a God that hates. He said, Jacob I loved, but guess what? Esau I hate. God, the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, who was in the beginning, who is at the end, who is now, hates Esau. It's as simple as that. And people go, oh, who is this God? That, you know, that's not Judeo-Christianity, though. That's Christianity. That's true Jesus Christ Christianity. And if the people will read their Bible, you mentioned that, Josh, you know, that's what they have to do. They have to read their Bible. And we certainly have to pray. That I think they go hand in hand. And when the people do that, when the people will do that, will pray for understanding and pray for one another and read His Word, you know, great things happen. Great things happen.
Well, we've got His Word that,
yes,
until we, as the people, our people do that, that it's going to keep getting worse.
Amen.
Until we turn to Him.
That's right. That's right. You read all back through Nehemiah, Jeremiah, all back through the times that the people found themselves in massive sin, found themselves being invaded, found themselves in the same predicament that we find ourselves in today. They once were blessed. They once had, you know, people feared them instead of them fearing people. You know, they had just blessings upon blessings. But then within a few short generations, when you read through the Old Testament, all that was gone. And the wrath of God was being poured out upon them. The Assyrians were coming this way, the Babylonians that way, the Chaldeans were over here. And, you know, just like today in America, in this one, what was once called the Heavenly Kingdom in the ancient Gothic language, we find ourselves in the same position. And it's for the same reason. And it's the same way out. It's the same way out. And it's humility, it's repentance. You know, when they were rebuilding the wall there in Jerusalem, and they found the book of the law, and they read the book of the law out to the people. And I think it says they read it for like 4 days. And the people were pierced to the heart because they realized that they had sinned. That God had it was God that had blessed them and done all this stuff. And they had turned away. They had transgressed the law, whether it was homosexuality, taking foreign wives, worshiping false gods. They had done it all. But they repented and they returned to Him. And they were blessed.
Well, and those stories that you're talking about, those are all in chapters in the book. And that's where we're at right now. We're just in another chapter in the book. This isn't the end. This is the end of a chapter, but it's not the end of a book.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, and it is. And it's just, you understand the chapter we're in if you've read some of the previous chapters. If you've read and seen what Nehemiah went through, if you see what the people went through, you know, after Solomon, if you understand that, wait a minute, those chapters are just telling us what's happening in these chapters.
Those are absolute because they're written in the Word.
Yes.
And that's what we need to base our convictions and our judgments on, are these absolutes.
Yes.
Not just what we want to, what's blowing in the wind or what I saw on TV, base it on the absolute, what the Word gives you.
Yes.
And then, once you have that foundation, then you can make better judgments of life in every aspect of your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I found it interesting this week. I had several pastors and people who are religious leaders that came up and said, you know, I'm sitting watching my son's soccer game or something, and they'll just come up and sit down next to you and they'll say, hey, so what's your take on all of this? and I said, do you really want to know? And they said, yeah, I want to know. And I said, well, 2 Chronicles 7:14 or bust. And, you know, the sad thing is most of these preachers don't even know what that is. And like, oh, well, what's that? I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah.
Oh, when my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I said, God is saying no longer will he tolerate churches of Laodicea, those that have been acceptant and tolerant to sin, and no longer will he tolerate lukewarm.
Yes.
You know, the Bible's clear.
That's right.
That, oh, that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I spew you out. And the lines are being drawn, and you will choose ye this day who you shall serve. If Baal to God, serve Baal. But if the Lord to God, serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. And they just look at you, and they're like, well, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But
yeah. And, you know, and some get it, don't they, John, when you tell them that? Some get it. Some kind of, okay, yeah, well, that, you know, you've given us testimonies of people that have, you know, that when they finally hear that, then, you know, it and it's a seed planted. You know, we don't plant 40-foot oak trees, you know. We don't plant, you know, 60-foot cedar trees. We plant seeds that grow over time, just like seeds were planted in us that have grown over time. And, well, guys, we are out of time.
There are others that whenever you...
Go ahead, Josh.
There are also others, whenever you share that truth with them, that they will fight you tooth and nail against that truth.
Yes.
And that's when you pray about it for discernment, and sometimes you just got to walk away from those.
That's right.
Yep.
Well, see, you convict them of sin is what it is. It's a lot of times when it's his people that happens with, you know, that's that defense mechanism of sin that pops up. Because by God, mm-hmm. what I do is right in my own eyes. What I think, what I do, what I say is right. Because I've become God. And that's how our people are today. That's how so many of them are. Is, you know,
but you did your job by putting that seed out there.
That's right. That's right.
It can be demonic, too. It can be demonic possession that keeps them from even wanting to hear the truth.
Yep.
So we have to remember that, too. We have to pray for these people, that those that can would have their eyes open and their ears unstopped, and that they would repent and fall upon their face and cry out. But those that can't, those that are of their father the devil, those that come only to steal, kill, and destroy, we want them off the land or under it.
Amen. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. We are out of time. Folks, we invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. You can do that by visiting us at scripturesforamerica.org. That's the website, www.scripturesforamerica.org, at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast. And join us for church. We'll have a live church service to stream there for you. We'll be saying good morning to you there at 10 o'clock. And so we invite you to join us there. And you will be blessed if you do. And we will be blessed if you join us there. So thanks for doing that. And our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling,
rolling, rolling,
stay high. Ha! Ha! Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more. Ride them out, ride more!
Stay high!
Ha! Ha!
Keep moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.